Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports the Max is on the air. We talk about the hurricanes in Florida and the wildfires and the heat in the West. Let's go out West with the Gopher football team. We'll play tomorrow against Oregon State. Joining us now, a man that led a charge out there, as he often does, the one and only Steve Urban from Urban Ventures and Beyond. Steve, how are you? Did you land okay?
Oh, yeah, we've landed. We've actually been on the water watching whales and seeing the whales. We have been fishing and, of course, in the ocean. And then also tide pooling. Do you know what tide pooling is?
Can we say that on the air?
Tide pooling.
Oh, pooling. No.
Yeah, it's not a bet at the racetrack.
Okay.
Tide pooling. Basically, it's the tide out here is like 11 feet high. And then when all the water goes out on the low tide, all these urchins and everything get trapped in these pools, and you go down and visit them. And we have a marine biologist, Carrie Newell, who's well-known here for the whale watching and her books. And she takes us out and tells us everything we need to know to pass a botany 101.
So you saw whales today?
Oh, yeah. We saw whales. And, of course, it was foggy, so it wasn't as great as we thought. But some of the whales that some of the people thought even had a baby calf with them.
Well, how close were you to the whales?
Oh, probably anywhere between 30 to 60 yards.
Well, that close? Are you in a boat or in a dock or what?
No, we're in a Zodiac.
Say it again. You just cut out. What were you?
In a Zodiac.
Okay, what does that look like?
Well, we actually were in the one that... that was used, let me put it another way. She just got one from the SEALs that was dropped in the Indian Ocean 7 times. And so these are rubber type of rafts, but they're boats.
That doesn't sound big enough to me, big guy.
Well, only six at a time go, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, if a whale comes up underneath you, you're done. You ever read Moby Dick?
Well, yeah, but here's the deal, though. This particular Zodiac is if it does flip over, it flips right back over. So as long as you hang on, you'll end up...
Yeah, where are you at that point is what I want to know.
Well, probably with a beer in my hand.
So you're out there for the Gopher football game. There's been a lot of talk about the heat and the wildfires, one at a time. What's the temperature like there?
Well, we're on the coast. So the coast, it's in the 60s always.
Oh, yeah, you're cool there.
Yeah, and the Corvallis is going to be in the... not even 80 tomorrow. I don't see the heat as if heat's an issue, then get another excuse.
How far is Corvallis from where you are?
It's about 50, 60 miles.
Okay, so it's straight inland, huh?
Yeah, and we've been staying on the coast since Wednesday. I've been out here since Tuesday, and so it's just been, spectacular.
What kind of a crew you got with you?
Well, they range from, they're all Gopher fans, obviously. A lot of them have graduated from the University of Minnesota. A lot of them are donors. A lot of them are on the goal line. In fact, we even have Bobby Hughes with us.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby, I tell you what, you cannot have a bad day with Bob Hughes because he sees the cup is always half full with Bob, and I appreciate that about him.
Oh, yeah. And what's fabulous, a lot of goal line club members are out here. And for those that don't know what the goal line club is, it's only $100 to join. But then all that money that we raise and everything goes to the Gopher football program. They do the banquet at the end of the year. A lot of great, great kind of experiences you can get with a goal line club.
For sure. So you got a bunch of them, and who else?
Well, there's a guy with us that the name might come from you. He's a farmer out west, Paul Dillon.
Paul made the trip. Oh, my God. Heart be still.
Yes.
I can't believe he decided to travel with you.
And then, of course.
Has he ever missed one?
Not in basketball. Uh-huh. Not in basketball. But then, of course, we have Billy Robinson.
Oh, is Bill with you?
Oh, yeah. Billy's with us.
Okay. You got to do me one favor, okay?
Okay.
And apologize to Bill for me not calling him back. I cannot find his phone number anywhere. Just tell him that.
Well,
okay?
You know, maybe because he didn't pay his bill, he could be disconnected.
Maybe that's the problem, but just tell him that, okay?
Yeah, I will.
Oh, see, and, boy, you got a good crew.
Oh, yeah. And right now, we're at Hoover's. We've got a horse running at Canterbury tonight, so Dorothy is plugged in.
Hoover.
She's plugged into the TV at Hoover's, so that everybody in Oregon is going to watch a horse run tonight. And, of course, Hoover's.
I didn't know they showed horse races there. I just thought they had those women with the nice T-shirts. And
No,
Hoover's.
Yeah, that's Hoover's. Yeah. This is Hoover's.
Well, why would you want to go to Hoover's?
This is with a V.
You're just a little off again, Steve. You just missed it again. You had the right idea. You just got one letter wrong, or you'd be having a great time.
Oh yeah, we are. And this is a lot. 4.4 in dive bars in Newport, Oregon.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So it's a little grungy, a little hippie-ish. You grew up with those hippies. You can probably talk their lingo.
Well, but I was more of a straight guy than a hippie.
At that time?
You know, when you come from Montana, you know.
Yeah, you're in Montana, man.
Yeah, those hippies, we never looked at them much.
Okay. So tomorrow, all the things they talked about, potential hindrances to this game, you don't see as coming into play?
Oh, absolutely not. No, the firewall, it's rained here for yesterday and part of today. So a lot of the fires have been really downplayed, but the smoke is still around, but nothing like it was at the beginning of the week.
What was it like when you flew in there over? Could you see fires or what?
Oh, when we flew into Portland and then got down here on the coast, the sun was out there because you could see it through the clouds, but it looked like more of a little red ball out there, and there were no clouds.
Really?
So on Tuesday, that alert was well-founded.
And then you land there, and are you breathing in smoke, or what's it like?
Well, not if you stay inside.
at Hoover's, right?
Yeah. But the bottom line is that we're staying at the Otter Creek Inn at Otter Creek. We have 70 of their condos that are up around a hill, and everyone is looking out at the ocean every morning and listening to it every night.
So how did you get all those condos? Are they like VRBO or what?
No, Dorothy and I did a reconnaissance trip out to see when the Gophers were coming out here. One of the things, as you know, we do at Creative Charters is it's not just the football game. It's the experience for the people, and that's why we have 150 people out here. They want to experience Western Oregon, and that's what we're doing. And so we looked up and down the coast, what would be the best? We found this, and we said, this has got to be good. The condos, you can't drive to them. You have to be taken in a golf cart.
Really?
Yeah.
Sounds kind of fancy for that crew that you run with.
Well, it was built in 1970, so it's not quite as fancy as you think.
Okay. And then tomorrow, you go to the game and tailgate? What do you guys do?
Yeah, we're going to leave. Well, actually, we're going all those because of this tide pooling. Dorothy's been telling everybody how great it was, so we got another 20, 30 people going out tide pooling first thing in the morning about 7. They'll get back about 9. They'll get their luggage up, and then we leave here for Corvallis around noon. And then we're going to a party that the Alumni Association, the local out here in Oregon, has set up. And then we're going there and then, of course, to the game.
There's an Alumni Association in Portland or Corvallis?
Well, it's some alumni out here that have an association in Oregon, you know, like every school does in every state.
Okay. And how do we feel about the game going in right now? Have you a chance to pick up on the vibe in Oregon there or get a feel for how Oregon State looks?
I think the vibes that we've gotten are really concerned, but they're positive.
You mean the Oregon State fans or the Gopher fans?
Yeah, no, the Oregon State fans. The Gopher fans, I think we're just sort of cool, waiting to see. As you well know, Mike, is that this young quarterback that Oregon State has, when he drove that team down in a minute and a half, looked like Bart Starr, you know, in a minute and a half, and scored the winning touchdown. So there's some concern here on that. But here's what also was interesting. Nebraska is playing Oregon. So we run into all the Nebraska fans. So here, our Big Ten is all over the place down here.
Yeah, because I think Mark Coyle said he might go to that game in the afternoon, and you can do both. He said it's pretty easy because I didn't realize this. Oregon and Oregon State are only about 40 minutes apart.
Yeah, and we have some guys that are going to do that. Rick Vail and Stan Hupp and those, they're going to go run over there to that game and then come over to our game.
Well, I think that'd be a fun atmosphere to check out Oregon, don't you?
Well, yeah, we can't do it. Of course, we got 150 Gopher fans. We got to make sure we get to the right game. I mean, if I took them to the Oregon game, guess what? It just wouldn't work out very well.
It'd be a good story when you got home, though.
Yeah, might be the last story.
Do you get good tickets for these games? What do you secure?
Well, the tickets are usually from the University of Minnesota, and I think these tickets are in the corner end zone. And to me, corner end zone seats are great because you can watch the game develop. So I don't think that the tickets are even an issue.
Yeah, and I don't. They don't sell out or anything there, do they? I mean, I assume they.
No. I think you're going to be able to buy tickets on the street pretty reasonable.
Yeah, so you could probably move to the 50 if you want.
I would never do that. I'd stay in there and watch these quarterbacks work. That's what I love.
Oh, because you get a better angle there from the corner end zone, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I guess I never thought about that. And then you come home tomorrow night?
No. We go up to Portland tomorrow. Some people are staying out for 2 or 3 days, and then we fly home Sunday morning. And we're on Sun Country.
Yeah, Sun Country flies to Portland?
Yeah, nonstop. They worked with us really well, getting the thing set up for our fans, and so it's really sort of a real effort by a bunch of people in Minnesota to bring our Gophers here, and Creative Charters is part of it.
Do you have a good feel about this Gopher team yet, Steve?
No,
I don't either. I mean, I don't have a bad feel. I just don't have a feeling.
No, I think tomorrow's game is going to tell us a tremendous amount because. They've had two games under them. They're working some of their issues out. Also, they do have a pretty darn good quarterback. For all of your people that are going to watch this game tomorrow, watch this kid. He's 6'7", and he's pretty accurate. So that'll be an interesting response to how our team responds to that. Plus, their defense is suspect. Oregon State's defense is suspect, so it does give the Gophers an opportunity to at least start to get some confidence and do well there.
Now, how are we looking for the basketball season? Do you anticipate with the winning you'll have some pretty good trips there?
Oh, yeah. We've already got our trip. We're staying at the team hotel over in Brooklyn for right after Thanksgiving. We're going to leave Friday morning so everybody can stay home for Thanksgiving, and then we'll be there for the weekend coming home on Monday.
Is that NIT or what is it?
What do they call that? I don't even know if it's got a real name or not. We play two games out there.
Yeah, at the Garden or where?
No, we're playing in Brooklyn.
Oh, Brooklyn at the arena there the Nets playing.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be a fun trip, man. People Christmas shopping in New York?
Well, the after Christmas sales.
Yeah, right there.
That's the key. That's the key.
You can get you can get both demographics to show up for that one.
And then we've got the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir.
Which, oh, good.
We're going to that. We could use that for a little bit of singing.
You were able to book that, or?
Well, we're working with them. We don't want to be on stage, you know what I mean?
Do you remember that place you and I and Paul Dillon and Clem Haskins went to? It was his place. We were by Madison Square Garden there. They're there in the NIT. And, Clem had one of these places off the beaten path, the restaurant there. And the four of us went over there. Gosh, I can't remember it, but we had such a good time because the Gophers were winning back then. And, Clem had some of those joints, didn't he, that he wanted to go to.
Oh, yeah. And what was interesting about then, you asked about basketball. I think that's exactly the kind of feeling that the basketball fans have now. I think Richard Pitino, there was some suspect on it.
Yeah.
Hey, last year he proved what he can do. Now, all of a sudden, we're at a position that we as fans are expecting to win.
Isn't that something? I've never seen anything like that. That surprised me as much as any one team did, that I've covered, where you just thought there was no hope,
Yeah, but I think that goes to show that...
that I'm dumb?
No, I think some of us are a little bit older, but it shows that the quality of a young coach, and he did not panic. He didn't panic. And all of a sudden, bingo, here we are going to be in the top 25 all year long, expecting to win. Yeah. We haven't had that feeling since Clem.
Yeah. All right, so we should watch for you in the corner end zone tomorrow night?
Yeah, we'll be in gold, of course.
You're going to wear gold? You're going to have one of those cheesehead things so it stands out a little bit?
No, that's the Packers. You know
I know,
that.
But you could wear that as, you know, we'd never know the difference.
No, we'd have the big teeth, the big white teeth.
Okay, all right. Well, you guys have fun out there, but behave yourselves. Remember to tell Bill Robinson that, okay?
Oh, I will, and I'll tell you what, the Gopher fans are having a great time in Oregon. We're going to have a great time at the football game. And oh, by the way, we do every away football game. So
yep.
In a couple weeks, we're going to Purdue.
Oh, yeah, when is that? Two, three? That's about 3 weeks away, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, buddy, have fun. Be safe.
We will. Cheerio.
You bet. Steve Urban, Creative Charters, got a group of 150 out there giving us the update from Oregon. Take a break, come back. This is Sports to the Max. All right, welcome back. Sports to the Max, interrupted regularly by updates as it pertains to Hurricane Irma today, and it has been a fascinating storm to watch. You know, I don't know if I feel morbid about it, but I have always enjoyed engaging in the coverage of a hurricane or a storm. Maybe it's because we are safe, but same true of the snowstorm. I like to see the video of it. I like to feel the energy and the ambiance that goes with it, and I don't know if that's obviously, it's curiosity. I don't know if that makes me a worse person or not. Sometimes I feel like, well, you know, there's a party going. Yeah, let's see if it gets to Cat 5. You know, and you know that everything about that is wrong. You want to see this thing dissipate. You want to see it go away. You want to see lives that are not hindered by it. But yet there's a party you're going, oh, what would be the most extreme that we could see? You know, so we're following it not just tonight, but throughout the weekend. We'll have guests as it pertains. Last night we had Mark Porter, the superintendent of Key West, from here for all the schools out there. We'll continue to work that way, but we know that there's a fascination with this and that people are trying to stay abreast of it as it comes to shore, entering Florida here soon. And I say that as we segue into a CBS update to give us the very latest on just that, because CBS has a crew down there. And I don't know how close they get to the eye of the storm. I don't understand it all when these airplanes fly above it. I guess, you know, obviously they know what they're doing. And you look down and say, there's the eye of the storm. But CBS has correspondents out there. They have people on the ground. They've got boots on the ground. They're at filling stations. They're in the street. They're talking to people about why are you deciding to stay? Why would you do that? All those things have made for some fascinating radio and TV over the last couple of days. And we all become enamored with these radars and these Cat 4 and Cat 5 and all that stuff as we go through it. But we'll keep you apprised for sure as best we can. And if there's any local angles to be told, we'll be on top of that as well from right here at WCCO, because that's what they do. CBS, though, is all over this thing, and they've got reporters, as I mentioned, there and beyond. So for the latest on what's going on with Hurricane Irma, let's go now to CBS.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Gosh, I yearn for a simpler time. Back in the day when I was working at Channel 4, we do the high school show. I was producing it early on in my career, in my 20s, my own 20s, just out of high school. And we would do our high school sports show on Friday night. And it was a rush. Still is a rush to the high school sports rally tonight. We'll get like 7 games. We'll shoot. And so most of the video comes in at 9:30. And you got about a half hour to put highlights together and try to get the names pronounced right and figure out who won the game and all these things. And it's very taxing, but it's a great adrenaline rush. And back in the day when I first started, that was one of my first assignments, was to produce that show, which meant that you write the scripts and you decide what games are on, how much time you're going to give to each game, et cetera, et cetera. And back in those days, we had typewriters. Kids, there's these things called typewriters. And you punch the number like you do on your cell phone, and then it actually puts it onto a piece of paper right there in front of you. And it was funny because one of our photographers over at Channel 4 made a DVD as he retired, Bob Bucky Cowan, and he made a DVD of a day that, like 30 years ago, that he had shot video in the newsroom, where he had just gone around with his camera in the newsroom, and captured, you know, a day in the life of the newsroom. And so he gave us copies of these, and it was fascinating to watch all the different people that, you know, no longer work here, but that you worked with at one time, and you were reminded of it. Of different I'm sure this is true for anybody. You know, if you're at the same place for 20, 30 years, you look back and you forget how many different people you've worked with, and et cetera, et cetera. But he's shooting this video of it, and he's like coming up on people's desks, and they're responding to this camera on their face, and et cetera, et cetera. But there's an energy and a buzz and a hum about it that you don't get anymore in the newsroom. And as I'm watching this DVD, I'm going, man, you know, you can feel it. It's palpable what they're going through there. You know, they're cranking it up. They're cranking it out. They're on deadline. You know, it's everything you'd imagine in a movie. And I thought, why do I not feel that now in the newsroom? I don't get that same feel. And I thought, well, it must be the fact that in our industry, we've lost so many different people. We've just been downsized. Our entire industry has been downsized. In radio and television, there's just fewer people. And I thought, that must be it. And then it dawned on me, that wasn't it at all. The difference was that I wasn't paying close attention to was not the video but the audio, because everybody was typing on a typewriter. And so you got the sense that they were cranking it up and cranking it out, and in the newsroom you hear this doing bop, 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 bop as they tap the keys. And it was that indicated to you that, boy, they got something. They're really getting after it here. And the news is on the way, and you can feel it, and et cetera, et cetera. And I realize that the only difference is we type into computer keyboards that you can't hear. Everything's silent now. Then every once in a while you hear ding, 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 because their phone would ring. Everybody's phone at the desk was their only source of a phone, right? So you'd hear that in the background as well. You hear ding, ding, ding. So you got the typewriter, tap, 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 tap. And then you got the ding, 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 ding. And all of a sudden, you got the buzz of a newsroom. You've got this feeling that there's something big going on. You know, somebody's answering the phone in the background, you know, Action News, whatever it is. You don't have that anymore. You know, nobody calls on, you know, the people still call on, you know, we've all got landlines at our desk. But not like back then, man. And you weren't doing any texting, obviously. So it was interesting to watch that video and realize the difference between then and now was audio, not video. And anyway, when you go back in time, that stuff happens from time to time. You know what I'm saying? The Minnesota Vikings take on the New Orleans Saints on Monday. You know that. Amongst the people that I talked to this week, Adam Thielen. What's an opening game like for a player when you get to this point in your career and you understand what it means?
It's exciting. I mean, it's your first opportunity to get back on the field, and it means something. Obviously, preseason games mean something, but not on this level. You know, now it's every game counts, and it's going to determine whether you make the playoffs or not.
You guys played a lot of receivers in the preseason. What did you learn about this group?
We got a lot of fighters. We got a lot of guys that are going to go out there and bust their tail and try to make plays. And I think it showed, you know, what we were able to do in OTAs and training camp. It showed up on the field. You know, guys just making plays, and a lot of different guys from a lot of different positions doing that.
So, like, when you look at the Saints as a receiver, are you at home looking at an iPad saying this cornerback's trying to do this to me? What goes into that study part of it?
Yeah, first of all, I kind of focus on what they do as a total defense. So what kind of coverages they like to run, what you know, what kind of blitzes and what comes off of a blitz, depending on down and yardage and things like that. And then I kind of go into guys that I think I'm going to face, you know, whether it be a nickel corner or outside corner, and trying to see what they do well, what they try to take away, and try to go from there.
Are you usually pretty accurate on game day? What you study ends up? Or do you, in the NFL, do you see a lot of disguises and things you haven't seen before?
Yeah, I mean, you see some of the stuff. So now it's hard because, you know, obviously in preseason they're pretty simple in what they do.
And it means nothing, right?
Right.
In terms of what they're trying to do.
Exactly. And, you know, it's a new year, so they're probably trying to bring some new stuff in. But and at the same time, even later in the year, you see stuff on film. And when you get into the game and you're actually out there and you're not just looking at an iPad, it happens differently than maybe you'd expect. So a lot of times you just got to go out there and react and play football. And that's what it comes down to, just beating the guy across from you. And it doesn't really matter what coverage, what leverage he has, just going out there and playing football.
Rhodes, Newman, Wayne's. What's it like to go against them every day, and what does that do to help you?
It's been huge for me. It's been huge for me to keep continuing to become a better football player. And hopefully I'm doing the same for them. Hopefully I'm helping them become better corners and better football players to help this football team win games. You know, what Coach talked about today is we're a team now. No more competing against each other. It's the real deal. We're competing against a different colored jersey. And you know, I'm excited to see what they can do. And I'm sure they're excited to see what us as receivers can do after, you know, working against them all offseason.
How's your workout facility in Lakeville going for the kids that are coming out working out?
It's been great. You know, we've had a ton of those athletes in Lakeville. We had pretty much all of Lakeville North athletics training with us all summer, so I'm excited to see what they can do, you know, in all their sports. Yeah. You know, starting with football here, and it's gonna be fun to watch them and see what they've done in the weight room translate to the field.
We'll find out more tonight. Lakeville North and Eden Prairie are feature game number 1 in the state against number 2 in the state. Any score on that, Dan, yet? Did anything come across the old Twitter feed yet?
Not that I've seen yet, Mike.
Okay. The Vikings also are going to unleash Delvin Cook. Cook's from Florida, so he commented on the hurricane.
Back of it, you know, make sure all my family and really just all my close ones back home is okay. So, but you know, I'm definitely keeping track of it, checking on my family, and you know, it's just you know, living.
For sure, we get it. For Mike Zimmer, he says, "Hey, this is the first game, and the first game is different."
I mean, you know, it's you know, we're not competing against each other now. We're getting ready to compete against another team, so. You know, when Diggs is going against Xavier, that's all over with. So now it's about understanding the other player that we're getting ready to play, studying his skill set, studying the things he has to do, and then you know, the same thing with the team. It's more about schemes than it ever was in the preseason.
David Morgan is a tight end for the Minnesota Vikings. We conversed.
So what's a regular season week like compared to a preseason week?
It's good. You know, obviously, been in training camp, been in preseason, and so, you know, you're not doing as much, but now, you know, it's game week. You know, everyone's getting into their routine. It's big-time game plan and things like that. We're coming out and looking to win.
When you talk about the game plan in New Orleans, pretty active on defense. What do you see?
Yeah, they're a good defense. They're a very, very active front. They do a lot of different stuff, so we just got to be ready to react to movement and, you know, pick them up as they come in.
Being physical at the line of scrimmage is part of, you know, obviously an offensive line, but it looks like this year the tight ends, too, because we're going to run the football a lot. That's a big commitment. What does that mean? Has that changed in any way, the way that you guys prepare?
No, not at all. Tight ends, you know, we're asked to do a lot, whether it's, as you said, run blocking, catching the ball, whatever it is, and so we prepare the same every week to go out and get after people.
Do you love the physical part of the game, that line it up and hit somebody?
Yeah, definitely. It's fun. That's just part of football. You know, you got to have that little edge, you know, that little chip on your shoulder, you know, hard-headed mentality, and so it's fun to go out there and just get mixed up with someone new in week one.
Like when you're studying a team during the week, what goes into that? You're at home on an iPad. What do you do what are you trying to pick up tendency-wise, and what does a guy look for?
Yeah, it's a lot. You know, obviously our coaches do a great job of giving us a base game plan, and then it falls on us of really going out and watching people's tendencies and watching people watch their movement and things like that, and so just little things that we can pick up here and there to give us an extra step in front of them.
The offense didn't have a great preseason in terms of putting up points. Did it concern you at all, or is that just preseason and you're just working on things?
Yep, just preseason. That's just a part of it. We're ready to go out week one and get after people.
Yeah, so that preseason doesn't mean as much as you're just working on things and trying to figure out where you stand.
Yeah, I mean, obviously going out every game, you want to win and you want to do well, but regular season is obviously a whole new ball game.
Time to get it on, right?
Yes, sir.
There you go. You wanted to hear from David Morgan? You heard from David Morgan. Tomorrow there'll be football games across the board in this area. We've got St. Thomas and Stout playing at 1:00. But there's games all over. And I don't know. I know Arkansas State and Miami has been canceled, or at least postponed. I don't know about the rest of them. Miami and Tampa Bay in the NFL are. Dan, is there an update you want to offer there?
Well, just that, you know, I know that the NFL game got moved to what, week 11?
No, November 11th, yeah.
Yeah, and then they moved, I think, Yankees and the Rays were supposed to have a series, and that got moved to a different state, and non-blank, City Field in New York.
Now, how ironic is that?
Yeah, right, that the Yankees are going to be playing
at City Field. Houston moved their game to Tropicana.
Yeah.
And now Tropicana, which is a dome built because of rain, they can play that. But they're playing them at the Met Stadium?
Yes.
Because Yankee Stadium is being used, or because it would be an unfair advantage?
Probably because it would be an unfair advantage, I'd imagine. But I don't know, is it that much different if they're in Queens as opposed to the Bronx? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. I guess you gotta get both teams to agree to it, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
So we're playing at Met Stadium.
Yep.
Against Tampa. Okay. All right. You know, whatever makes you happy. You know what I say. Whatever makes you happy in these parts.
That is what you say usually. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Plenty more to come. Aside from Minnesota Vikings setting the stage, Eric Nelson is in. Steve said he'd go to the big U2 concert. Oh, yeah. Forget about our high school Friday night show. U2 comes to town. You forget about us all. The Maplewood Toyota Time. Sing it, Dano. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. Welcome back, Sports to the Max, News Radio 830 WCCO. As we peruse through the evening, Minnesota Gophers taking on Oregon State tomorrow. We just heard from Steve Urban out there. He says it should be good. PJ Flex said they went to great lengths to protect themselves on this trip.
Able to, with the schedule we had in training camp, you can do it however you want. So we practiced on game day, simulated game day time leading up to the first game against Buffalo. We were able to do that a whole week and a half, 2 weeks out, right, to get their bodies acclimated to that time. When you start school, it's different because now all the classes are set. We practice in the mornings. They have classes in the afternoon. We're going to practice in the morning all week. But as we get closer to game time, right, it's not necessarily when you practice. It's when you get up and when you go to bed. And when you make the West Coast trip, the ability to get in and get out, that's key. There's an elevation change. There's the 3.5-hour difference. There's all these, quote-unquote, excuses, circumstances, different things that you have that we want to prepare them for. So we will adjust the timesheets of when to go to bed, especially the night prior to when they play, where it's not going to make the most significant difference until the second night, which would already be home by then, in terms of when the bad body will start to adapt to that. But we should be in and out before it ever has any effect on our body. We're doing a lot of things in preparation for our game, going all the way out west in terms of hydration, nutrition. It's 105 degrees, I think, in Corvallis right now or on the West Coast. There's a lot of smoke in the air. I've gotten that type of messages in terms of the wildfires. But those are all things that we can't let affect us. And we, as a coaching staff and as a program, have to be able to prepare our players to be able to be their best at those times. And we will. There's a lot of factors from Eugene's airport not being open in the runway to flying into Portland, to traveling farther, no police escort, to, you know, rush hour traffic, to 2-hour rides, to those are all things when you go on the road. So what? You know, but I wanted our players to know that ahead of time, that no circumstance will dictate our behavior. We will prepare for the circumstances and dictate how the culture demands our behavior will be.
All right. I think he said somewhere in there that he thinks they'll be ready for the game on Saturday. I think somewhere in there I got it. What'd you get out of that, Dan?
I think he's going to be ready for the game on Saturday, Mike.
Okay.
There's something about an elevation change and I don't know. Was there a Calcutta Clipper thing in there? I don't know. I missed that part.
I didn't quite catch it all, but I dozed for a minute there. But something about the... they'd be ready because the culture would be ready. I think that was it. Anyway, the Gophers should be ready for tomorrow night, I think. Pat Elflein will play for the Vikings at center. How does he feel about Monday night?
Heightens the urgency in practice in the meeting room and getting ready to play a big game Monday night. So it just kind of heightens everything and, you know, kind of gets you on your edge, and it's exciting.
Everson Griffin will also play on Monday night. He should. He's a Minnesota Viking. He's a team captain. He better play on Monday night if he's healthy. I visited with him about Monday night, Adrian Peterson, and more.
What's game one like in the NFL for a player when you've been waiting this long and preseason and all that? What's it feel like?
You know, it's another opportunity to go out there and, take the test. You know, we had, OTAs, mini camp, training camp leading up to this point, and we practiced all those days, to get to the first game of the year, and Monday night is our first game of the year. So, you know, it's exciting. You know, people should be flying off the walls. People should be jacked. And, you know, it's just another chance to go out there and play as a team and, you know, go get our job done.
What did you learn about your defense?
You know, that, you know, we're tough. You know, we're smart football players. But, you know, we have to bring, we got to bring more than that. You know, we got to pay attention to detail. We got to go out there each and every day and, you know, do our job and, you know, and try to get better, 1% better each and every day.
Adrian Peterson, obviously, you know, well, as your old teammate, what do you think of that matchup?
It's going to be fun, man. You know, it's going to be fun. You know, we had to deal with Adrian, you know, but also we got to deal with Drew Brees, you know, Mark Ingram, the wide receiver. So we got to beat the New Orleans Saints, just not Adrian Peterson. And, you know, we got to go out there and just, you know, stop the run. You know, we always got to stop the run first and get to the pass.
Will you talk to him much? I mean, is that a part of
it? I really haven't talked to him much, but, you know, my focus right now is on the New Orleans Saints and, you know, going up against their left tackle, going up against their right tackle, going against, you know, whatever my job calls me to do and go out there and execute at my best ability.
Your defense is pretty much intact from last year. A lot of it, how much does that help?
I mean, it helps a lot. You know, that's a lot of team chemistry, you know, guys being in the right place, filling off the guys and knowing where the guy's going to be. So, you know, that helps a lot. But the biggest thing right now is for us to go out there and, you know, get dialed in and get ready to play New Orleans Saints.
Who is Drew Brees? Everson Griffin with some thoughts of the Vikings game. Dan, how did you read what he said there as you kind of read between the lines?
You know, there's a lot going on there, Mike, and it's really, you know, what's interesting is to get the player's perspective on a big game coming up as they start in the season, because that's just something that those of us that watch at home can't really understand and get our head around.
As you read the tea leaves on Griffin's feeling going
in. Yeah.
I mean, just based on what you just heard.
But. Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of looking forward to the start of the season. You know, you could sense that he's ready to go, that, you know, they've been you know, practicing for so long, they got to get after it. And, oh, look, we're almost out of time.
What time do we got to close this out at?
You got about 45 seconds.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for the insight.
I'm always here for you, Mike.
Yeah. It's like when we used to go to this, we had our legal expert on CBS. And
did you hear the Angels traded for Justin Upton?
That will be our joke forever. But we'd have this legal guy on, and you know, somebody would be guilty, and he'd say, well, they found him guilty because, and he'd tell you everything you already knew, right? You were looking for something like, did some jury get swayed, did whatever. And he'd tell you exactly what he just read that you just read. And you'd go, I can do that, you know? I can get my plumber to do that, as we say. Eric Nelson's in for Steve Thompson up next, and he and I will throw it around, talk some high school sports, and probably work in a little NFL talk after what he saw last night. That's next on News Radio 830 WCCO.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.